Into the final segment of the Schilling Show for today's Wild Wednesday edition, and we welcome our friend and Israel correspondent Rolene Marks with a live update from Israel. Lots going on there. Rolene, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Schilling Show. Welcome.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
I want to start off because we understand that there's a lot of unrest and a lot of violence going on in Israel right now. I heard some reports on American national radio shows today about this. So maybe you could bring us up to date, the genesis of this and how widespread is it?
Well, it depends what you're referring to specifically. If it was yesterday's protest.
Yes.
The day of resilience that happened across the country. Many took to the streets of cities across Israel to protest the proposed judicial overhaul. And there were some clashes. There were clashes with police. There were some incidents where maybe police used excessive force. In one instance, police used a water cannon to disperse protesters, even though they were repeatedly asked not to, by doctors saying that the force of the cannons, the pressure could cause serious injury, and some other minor clashes across the country. But, we have seen a significant uptick in violence over probably the last year or so, and culminating in last week's very, very pinpoint, very, very surgical mission or operation into the city of Jenin.
Yes.
On the West Bank to try and root out and to deal a blow to as much terrorist infrastructure as we possibly could.
Would you tell us, Rolene, the status of this IDF operation and what the aftermath has been, or if it is still ongoing?
So just to put things into perspective, Jenin is a city that under the Oslo Accord falls under the remit of the Palestinian Authority, and they have lost complete control there and created a vacuum which has allowed terror entities like Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and the newly created Lion's Den basically to run riot. At least 16 of the 27 terror attacks that have been carried out this year have either been planned or been carried out by operatives or terrorists coming from Jenin. So the IDF embarked on a surgical incursion last week. It was only 2 days. It was quite extraordinary, Rob. You know, after 2 days of intense fighting, including having to take out with using drones some IEDs that were laid along the road to kill our soldiers, and engaging in heavy shootouts, the IDF killed 12 Palestinians, all of them, according to Palestinian media, all of them belonging to terror factions. That is quite extraordinary. I don't think any army can talk of such a highly tense conflict situation where no civilians have been harmed or killed, rather, in any way. One IDF soldier was killed as the troops were pulling out. But this was very, very precise, very surgical. It was discovered that there were munitions factories under mosques. Terrorist operatives were shooting from the hospitals. And what is really disturbing is how the mainstream media covered this, because these terrorists, at least four of them, were under the age of 18. Mm. And many of the listeners, I'm sure, will know that this is common practice amongst the Palestinian terror factions to recruit child soldiers. You know, I'm sure all over the United States, kids have gone to summer camp. There are kids in summer camp here in Israel learning arts and crafts and making new friends. Under the Palestinian leadership, their summer camps take on something totally different. They become paramilitary terrorist training grounds ripe for the recruitment of child soldiers. And we see them going out to kill Israelis. And what the media globbed on last week was the fact that four of these Palestinian terrorists were under the age of 18. Not the fact that they were terrorists and not the fact that they were recruited as child soldiers.
Raleen, this is clearly the promotion of a culture of death amongst that group of people who would be willing to put children out like that. But it's obviously for political purposes to try to hamstring Israel's response in defending itself. So what does the IDF do, or what can they do? I'm sure they try to avoid something like this. But if you're putting soldiers children in soldier uniforms and putting them out there, the result is rather inevitable if they're engaged in kinetic activity.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, the IDF do as much as they possibly can to mitigate civilian casualties. Colonel Richard Kemp, who was the commander of British forces in Afghanistan, commented on this. He said, you know, this is remarkable what the IDF have achieved. And these are terror entities. They are defined by the United Nations as child soldiers, something, a definition that has actually been used, as you just said, to hamstring the IDF. But, you know, unfortunately, the images play into the agenda of the Palestinians and the anti-Israel detractors, saying, look at this, these are just children. They are not just children. If a teenager, if a 17-year-old, armed to the teeth, swearing allegiance, as you say, to a death cult, to a terror organization, comes into your home and tries to kill you, tries to kill your children, that is not a child anymore. That is not a teenager anymore. That is a terrorist that must be eliminated. And that's what we have here. And what is scary are the newspapers of record, The Economist, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Forbes, all romanticizing this, referring to them as Gen Z resistance fighters or resistance fighters. These are not resistance fighters. This is not how you deal with a political issue or even in their terms an occupation. This is terrorism.
Roland Marks, we have just a couple minutes remaining. We're talking live from Israel, getting an update on things there. I think it's very instructive for people to understand that there are other entities which are funding this terrorism and these attacks on Israel, because they're not all generated just from these areas. So who's behind all this and to what purpose?
Oh, there is no doubt that Iran's fingerprints were all over this. Mm-hmm. All these terror factions are sponsored by Iran. This is part of their proxy war against the state of Israel. You know, they operate on multiple levels. We have the big nuclear threat. We also have their propaganda war against the state of Israel. And we see this proxy war playing out almost on a daily basis, whether it's Hezbollah on the northern border from Lebanon trying to launch attacks, as they actually did just a couple of hours ago on Israel. We've seen some Hezbollah operatives gathering along the border, or whether it is Hamas from the Gaza Strip and some of their cells operating in the West Bank in a city like Jenin, which incidentally is not a refugee camp, it is a city, or whether it is Palestinian Islamic Jihad. These are terror groups that are specifically funded by Iran, which is a threat not just to Israel, but a threat to the Western world as a whole.
Raleen Marks, you do such a good job. We have very little time, but you always bring us up to date. But I know that you're covering this on a daily basis. If people would like to follow you, maybe sign up for your newsletter, would you tell us how, please?
Okay, so you can follow our website at www.layoftheland.online. We have a weekly newsletter. If anybody wants to subscribe, please be in touch with us via the website. You can also find me daily on YouTube at The Israel Brief. I bring a quick synopsis of what's going on in the headlines in Israel. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rolmark, or on Facebook at Roly Marks. Almost forgot my name there for a second, Rob.
Well, I hope people will take advantage of the opportunity to follow your work. We continue to pray for the peace and protection of Israel, and what a wonderful, remarkable country you live in. Thank you so much, Raleen.
Thank you, Rob.